Hey, family, friends, loved ones, and new friends, welcome to the LLC. Make yourselves comfortable, relax your mind, leave that baggage at the door. Listen, those closest to me call me AR, and some call me Rush. Either one you choose is perfectly fine by me. Let me give you the who, the what, and the why behind the LLC. The who, the what, and the why is pretty simple. We talk spirituality, we talk business, we talk mental health. Most of all, let's talk about what happens every day in what I call hashtag in my zip code. In many zip codes, LLC represents a limited liability company, but where I come from, it most often represents laundromat, liquor store, church. My hope and prayer is that this podcast will be one of transparency, healing, and transformation. It is my desire to bring industry professionals and much more to your zip code so that you too can embark on a journey that revolutionizes the way that you think, feel, act, which will bring about new results in your life. So let's journey together. Life is better when it's shared. I hope you agree. Let's build some interdependency through trust and integrity. Pick your place, y'all. We can connect at the laundromat, the liquor store, or the church. So let's get it. Good afternoon, everybody. It's been a while since we've recorded, but I'm here with a new friendship that I found, a gentleman by the name of Stuart Farber. Excited to hear from this young man because I got an opportunity to spend a couple evenings with him in a beautiful organization that I knew nothing about called the Compton YAL. Some of you might be familiar with it. I certainly wasn't. I'm a little saddened that I wasn't, not because of anything on their behalf, but just because I would have loved to have been more involved with this. So I asked Stuart if he would give us an opportunity to hear from him and just share about his life and then share about his passion as he's become a leading member with the Compton YAL. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you guys Mr. Stuart Farber, organizational psychologist, turned community activist, philanthropist, all that good stuff. So Stuart, if you can say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'm really happy to talk about the YL, which is Youth Activities League, is what the YL stands for. It's become a passion of mine for a number of reasons. I guess we'll cover in the talk as Absolutely. We go. But it's a beautiful organization. It really is, I think, the best resource for youth in the city of Compton, and we have kids from surrounding areas come there.
Okay, so listen, you by trade again are organizational psychologist,
right?
Okay, so for those that don't know, because I didn't know when you mentioned it, what is that? What does that mean? What do you do?
Well, I think the simplest way to explain it is that I had one professor that said, explain it as when people come together, they act weird.
Okay.
But just as clinical psychology is a study of behavior, organizations also behave in measurable and sometimes predictable ways.
Okay.
So it's really that, and an organization doesn't have to be just a business, or it could be any time a group of people come together.
Sports team.
I know I have some classmates that went off into sports psychology and they're doing quite well.
Okay. All right. And so the transition from organizational psychology, which I imagine you're still in it with the YAL to a degree, but how did you find the YAL? How did you hear about it initially?
Yeah. In my background, actually, I was very interested in new venture analysis, new venture creation, and got involved with a few startup companies. And the last one I had when we did a asset sale, I came out of it like, okay, this is a decision point. What do I want to do? And I spoke with my wife and she said, what do you really want to do? And I said, I really want to work in these underserved areas. I want to see if I can help make a difference in some way. Mm-hmm. And approached a number of primarily churches and other organizations. And my consulting practice was just for nonprofits, that human service organizations, but the little ones, not United Way, YMCA, no, these ones that are all around that are really struggling and trying to do great stuff.
Okay.
So that brought me in there.
Excellent. Okay. And so you mentioned your wife, right?
Yeah.
So partnership to me is very important. Okay. And so she obviously was on board with.
Oh, told me, you know, what do you really want to do in your heart?
Okay.
And my wife's an attorney.
Okay.
Real successful. And I told her and she blessed it.
Okay. Excellent. Right. So the Youth Activities League, right? The YAL.
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean to you today?
It is outside of my family, really my primary passion. I really love what we're trying to do there. And I say trying because it's always evolving. The person who I first met, he was the just a little background, is that the YL is affiliated with the Sheriff's Foundation, not the Compton Station. However, we always have two deputies on site. At that time, somebody named Daryl Harkless, Deputy Daryl Harkless, was the person who was the primary deputy for the YL.
Okay.
And I had done something, an event earlier with the church in Watts, and I could just tell it wasn't going well, and life's too short to try to work it out. And through that, I met somebody named Shay Hamilton, and she was the founder of Angels for Sight, which is an unbelievable organization, gives free eye care, glasses.
Okay.
And she passed away a couple of weeks ago, and she's on her was on her board, and she was a real asset to the city. I mean, she was just remarkable. And she and my philanthropy partner at the time was a guy named Chef Curtis Akins, who is a celebrity chef. He was the first African-American chef on the Food Network, cooked for a few presidents. He's the Smithsonian, and just a great guy. And she grabbed our hands and just walked us right over to the YL, introduced us to Deputy Harkless, and we talked a little bit about what we can do. And Harkless just said, don't do anything that's going to embarrass us, or don't do anything that is going to be not positive for the kids.
Okay.
Those are your only guidelines to be here. Now, mind you, I've been going to a bunch of other organizations, and they were just so unnecessarily bureaucratic, and it was very frustrating. And then to hear that, it's like, wow, you know. And trust me, I mean, there are people that came, and he would in wanting to get involved in the YL, and he would sometimes call me to see them too, you know, get my opinion, but he'd see them and just, sorry guys, you're just not the fit.
Right.
You know, so he was very protective of that. Mm-hmm. We serve kids that are from the first grade all the way up to 12th grade.
Okay.
From the, you know, all around the Compton area and some of the surrounding areas. And first and foremost, what we give them is it's just a safe place to be, where they can be kids. I mean, there's times it's like beautiful, because the first part of the day during the school year is always they got to get their academic focused.
Okay.
They have to get their homework done. And the person who really makes the place go, who is just, we call her our secret sauce, is, and you'll hear her name a lot through this, is Mrs. Angelica.
Okay.
And I mean, her ability to work with kids and bring them up and meet them where they are. And they're at really different levels. I mean, mm-hmm. we have kids who are different type of learners, you know, in a more affluent school district, they have resources for them.
Yeah.
They probably have a Compton, but they're overwhelmed. And she takes them. I mean, kids that come in can't speak a lick of English in like the later grades.
Yes.
We'll work with the teachers. And in fact, teachers call her and send kids there. So, you know, she's amazing. So, and academics is very focused.
Good.
It's a very important part of our focus.
She was very passionate when I met her.
Oh, she's like that all the time.
Yeah.
If I can tell a really funny story.
Absolutely.
We teamed up with a school of education class in a university, I don't want to say.
Okay.
And the girls that were, it was almost all, yeah, I think the class was almost all girls, maybe, right, were like coming to me saying, oh, she yells at the kids, you know, this isn't good. You know, she does everything they're not, that their textbooks, I think, are telling them not to do.
Right.
You know, I can't do anything. She's been here for 15 years, and I think she's doing pretty well. So, and then two of the girls asked to stay on. It was and actually work volunteer to work during the summer.
Okay.
At the YL, and Miss Angelica said sure, and they still kept coming up to her saying, "You shouldn't be speaking so harshly to the kids." So one day she says, "Hey," when the kids were in their classroom doing what we call homework club, she said, I got to do something for about 15 minutes. Just stay." And she left the two girls alone with the kids. She just walked out to Harkless and smiled, and he knew something was up. And God, within 3 minutes, the girls ran out to get her and say, "You're right. You're right." You know, they, she could hear them yelling and the kids breaking the place down. And
containment.
Yes. Yeah. You know, your philosophy of how to do it, you know, just coming out of college, you might want to listen to the person that has some experience. And by the way, no kid ever leaves feeling that they're punished or right. You know, she always makes sure that she spreads her love, and she really does love the kids. So as long
tough love.
It's tough love. But she has tremendous results.
Good.
You know, and it's really great, because I just this year monitored the report cards, and 88% of the kids have been improving throughout. And this time when literacy really got killed because of the pandemic, our kids are really way ahead. If you looked at percentage between the school district and how our kids are terms of their literacy. So.
Okay. So obviously academics is important.
Yes.
What things does the youth athletics get into? I know that I saw some jujitsu, I saw some boxing, I saw chess.
Oh, yeah. Our mission is to build a better community through the kids of Compton.
Okay.
So the thought, you know, this was let me just back up 1 second too, sure, of why we have a Friends of the Compton Youth Activities League, is that we really exhausted our sources of for people that were providing programs.
Okay.
The boxing coach, he does it for free. He gets the ring. He is a former head Olympic boxing coach for the United States. I mean, he was there. And so people like him, we exhausted it. And then we had a steady source of income from another organization that, like so many others, you know, they couldn't fund it anymore. So that meant we had to lose people.
Okay.
We have a mandatory ratio of 20 adults to one kid. So losing a person is devastating. You know, that means we need to look at our roster again, and we have a waiting list anyways, and to put kids back down on it is just not acceptable.
Right.
And you can't count on interns and volunteers. I mean, so many of them have been great when they've been there, but their lives are still changing. So you can't count on that.
Yeah.
So Harkless first came up with this idea. He modeled it a little bit after another YL, I think City of Industry, where we're a totally separate board, and our whole purpose is to fund and also participate, you know, in with the strategy of what we're trying to do, making sure that we're keeping within our mission.
Okay.
And the people on the board are Pastor Rafer Owens, who's very, very well known. He was a deputy to before Harkless there, and he has a church, Faith Inspirational. We have a lady who was the executive director that provided one of the services, the Harmony Group provided digital music instruction and instrumental instruction. Now she's at the Guitar Center. A guy that's been there forever, it's Harkless's right-hand man, a guy named Bernie Lopez that just, I call him Mr. Dependable.
Okay.
You know?
That's good.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, Shay was on it. And then, of course, Deputy Harkless. So we formed that organization. And that really made us focus on the program. You know, what really are we providing? Even though this was all in Harkless's head, now it might be annoying for him to have four other heads in it on how we're going to do things. Yeah. And that's where, you know, Harkless always said, "I want these kids to do things that, like, you look and like, wow, that's black and brown kids that are doing this." Mm-hmm. It's not something you see all the time.
Right.
So that's where ideas of chess came in.
Mm-hmm.
The chess guy, who is a Compton native, as is Harkless, as is Rafer Owens, mm-hmm. Chess guy is just fantastic. And right when after about 3 or 4 months, the kids really took to it. They loved it, decided to hold the tournament that was open to everybody in the LA County.
Okay.
And our kids just did great. Yeah. They really excelled. They just did great. And this is a story I told the other night, and I was just giddy. I was so happy about it. And then it just hit me. God, I'm so patronizing. Why would I expect when these kids get an opportunity that they wouldn't excel? And that was a real eye-opener for me. And it's like, we got to keep giving these kids opportunity. The karate has been there forever. Red, okay. He volunteers. The jiu-jitsu has a nice, interesting story behind it, because at first we wanted it just for the girls.
Okay.
So the girls have something special.
Yeah.
You know, but the boys pushed themselves in. No, they really couldn't miss. It was out on that. We have skateboarding. We have a real nice ramp park that's out there. Music, as we talked about,
yes,
actually, you know, instrumental and digital production,
yes,
which is a big part of our STEM program, mm-hmm, which we, you know, that this is what truly are preparing the kids for later on, is they have to have STEM. And when they come through our program, when they finish it, they'll be able to take an AP level class, or actually even a basic first class on a collegiate level.
Right.
And yeah, that's coding and programming. And, you know, that came to us from an angel too, a participant in Rafer's Church,
okay,
who I remember the congregation, knew somebody, funded it, and now it's run by this another Compton native. And actually, one of the instructors went to the YAL.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And then we sports is a big part of what we offer. And last year, we actually introduced rugby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we used to have a professional team in Los Angeles, and they'd come and practice with the kids quite a few times, and they actually got to play on the Coliseum floor at the halftime of a professional game. And we had Team USA come before last year's Rugby Sevens.
Okay.
So these, look at these things the kids are exposed to.
Yeah.
And then during the summer, they get to do things like archery and scuba diving. We team up with the City of Industry. They can get certified, and then they do a dive off Catalina.
These are things that most adults
don't do.
Yeah. Have no exposure to. You know, we may not know it's fun or not because we've never given it a chance.
Right.
I think it's pretty awesome. You know, I don't remember the young man's name. He played one of his beats for me. He was in a digital music spot. And it was something I'd listen to on a Sunday afternoon. It wasn't anything you'd expect. Right, it was like this little jazzy thing he had created. It was pretty cool. And then the coding, I just think is phenomenal. To me, that's the future.
Right.
Anyone that knows me intimately, I'm not really a fan of college. I am a fan of higher education. I'm a fan of knowledge. But I'm not a fan of funneling people into a system that technically, I don't care if anyone admits it or not, technically we're preparing people, kids, for a world that doesn't exist anymore.
I just recently came to that conclusion too, and I've certainly spent my time in school, and you're right.
I mean, you know,
and it's expensive, and
it's very expensive. I had a good friend, she was going to be sending her child to the East Coast, first year of college, freshman year, right? COVID happens. Shuts everything down, you know. And this person's question is, well, if they're going to be homeschooled out of my house, why am I still paying the full fees and so forth, right? There's no one on campus. You're not making the food. The light should be off. The AC and the heat should be off. Why am I still paying you for it? And it's a very valid conversation. And of course, there was no answer for it. Luckily that, you know, a parent and child decided to stay here locally in California for school. They're having a great time, right? But it's just, there are things and their systems and structures that need to be reevaluated, right? And in their systems and structures that need to be promoted, like the YAL, right? Who would have thought, you know? I tried to snorkel a couple of years back in Cancun and went into a friggin' panic attack, right? But if you can teach kids, because there's no bodies of water really in California.
Yeah.
Right? If you just think basic survival, how do I teach these children in this area basic survival of swimming,
right?
Let alone scuba diving and exploring, you know, oceanography and all these things that they might never hear of, right? So
it's a much bigger world. And, you know, they don't, Some kids go back to their home country and stuff, but other than that, I don't think very many of them go west of Figueroa.
Correct.
You know, yeah. And you're right, it's a bigger world. There's a lot more stuff to see.
Yeah.
And Harkless was touched by a camp that he went to. He did twice. He did like two different summers for a week. So we're trying to, we have a grant application in and trying to take 75 kids camping around Big Bear this summer. And that's education.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's hands-on.
Right.
Right. What do I do in this scenario? You know, I was at a, I'll call it a spiritual retreat some years ago. And I ended up in the room with two older gentlemen. And I just walked in the room. I got my bags. I'm tired. I dropped my bags. And one of them looks at me. He's like, you know how to skin a chicken? I'm like, no. So he looks at his counterpart and he's like, see, man, this generation would never make it. And granted, we've got all these comforts and conveniences, but God forbid one day we didn't.
Right.
I don't know how to do those certain things, right? There's some basics that I probably won't ever need, right? But then to me, there's some things, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, that whole Pythagorean theorem. How the hell do I need to know that?
Right.
Could you teach me something about taxes? Could you teach me something about personal finance? Could you teach me, you know, sportsmanship, right? Because those are things that are necessary in corporate America, right? What if we're competitors for a job? You get it and I don't, right? I still got to see you in the hallway, so I shouldn't be angry or upset. You know, being a good citizen, can we teach some of those things? College doesn't teach you that. It just teaches you, did you pay your bill? Have you applied for your financial aid? And, you know, you're going to leave here with 100 grand in debt. And, you know, you'll probably find a $40,000, $50,000 job and you'll pay on your student loans for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Just like you will, maybe, if you can afford a mortgage, right? I adore what you guys are doing, and it's just very special.
And you know, something I'd like to point out, and it speaks exactly to what you just said, is that I like to say that our programs are like our hardware, but the software is the messaging, that way that we really get into the kids, either by mentoring, modeling, direct talking to them. You know, we really want to promote character, resilience. Also, let them know that there's people. I mean, their families love them, but there's other people that really love them out there.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But those skills of, I mean, resilience is so important.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of kids know. Certainly, the colleges aren't teaching that now. I mean, you're going to be very apolitical or not politically correct, and you can tell me. This idea of an idea of a microaggression.
Yeah.
You know, when did we stop saying sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? I mean, it's so coddling, and that's not the world out there.
No.
The other thing is a lot of those kids we have really are going through some tragic experiences. I mean, we have a couple of families that are shelterless. We have more that are homeless, but they're couch surfing or moving around. A tremendous amount of trauma. Tremendous amount of trauma that they've been exposed to. But you know, at least this is a safe environment for them. They know that they're safe. With Ms. Angelica, they can go and talk to some of these things they've experienced. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday and Thursday, we have what's called Open Table. And this is just for the teenagers. And they go in the homework room and I sit in on these. It's fascinating. Close the door. Nothing can go outside of there. I mean, unless it's something that has to be mandatory reporting, but nothing goes out of there. And usually it's just the adolescents showing off, and especially the males in front of the girls. But there is one where I lost it. I mean, I realized why I'm at the YAL, that it was something a little bit serious that came up. Mm-hmm. People began talking and it hit a nerve with one kid. And then the other kid's sympathy picked up on it. And then they're really being empathetic, you know, and trying to comfort. And all those big boys were crying.
Yeah.
And I was crying. And some of the girls were. And it's like, wow, that's a moment, you know.
Yeah.
Never experienced anything like that.
It's humanity.
It's humanity.
We're not allowed to be human.
Yeah.
I started a series, took about a year and a half, or that's how I did it, of therapy. It was weekly, then kind of went every other week. It started in COVID, and it started for me. In response to the George Floyd
incident. Yeah.
Murder. Killing,
yeah. Murder.
So I started feeling a lot, and these things unfortunately aren't new, but we've become desensitized to it. I, at this point, was not desensitized. I was like over the moon with it. So that's why I called upon therapy. But that's not normal for us, right? We're not supposed to take things outside of our home. We're not supposed to talk. We're not supposed to be, you know, vulnerable. So again, I commend you guys for creating a space, right? You call it a safe space, where people can go, or not people, but these kids,
right?
Because they're going to become the adults of the future. And if you condition them at a young age that they can't go talk to someone, they're not supposed to cooperate with people, you're making the world worse 20, 30 years down the line, in my opinion, right? So I admire the fact, and you can share with it in these last few minutes, what's it like for the kids? Are they comfortable that this is sponsored by the Sheriff's Foundation? Is there hesitation for people to join? What is that?
That's a real good question. And it is something that, not frequently, but it does come up, something that we have to come against. And unfortunately, it's one group that it's more important to. I mean, mm-hmm. the African-American community and Rafer really, he's done this, I think, very well, is look, this is maybe our avenue that we can improve those relationships.
Okay.
Here is something that, you know, every day, for every day your kid is there and the kid, you're having positive law enforcement community interactions.
Yeah.
And you start to get an understanding. And, you know, if there is a problem, you know, they're on the street, there might be one recognizes the other, and that just de-escalates automatically.
Yeah.
You know, so there is awareness of that. But I have to say, the cultural differences, I mean, I was appalled by what happened. Mm-hmm. It didn't affect me. It sounds like anything like it affected you. And that has been another thing about my education and being in the YL, is I came in there not knowing what I don't know.
Yeah.
And now I know what I don't know. And that it's been very, very hard for me to, so I really just sit back and watch now more than anything. I it's hard for me to be directly effective, but I, for the back and working with people like Ms. Angelica, you know, mm-hmm. We can talk and work about things.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I mean, I've got a friend, we call him Theo. And we were talking one day, we spoke for like an hour and a half. And I remember him saying, you know, in all of my years in growing up the way that I grew up, I've never been afraid to be pulled over by the police. I've never been in fear that I would be killed just because I've been pulled over. So he kind of acknowledged some things that he couldn't really relate to as I could. But I think it's important for us to learn what we don't know. You know, my wife being from another country, I didn't realize the difficulties that people have becoming an actual citizen in the United States.
Yeah.
Because I never had to go through it. Right. So I think it's important that we listen to one another and try to comprehend. I always try and teach that now to people that are around. You know, we can communicate. This is the example I use. I'll give it to you. If she starts to speak in Spanish, right, there's some people that will understand, and there's a group of people that won't because they don't speak Spanish. She's communicating, right, but there's a group of people that don't comprehend. So I think it's important that we first start with communication and then work to comprehend. So, you know, lastly, Stuart, how do we communicate with the Compton YL? What would you like for people to know in summary, in what do you guys need, right?
Right.
How do we keep in touch with you, obviously, too?
We do have a website. We do. It's comptonyl.org.
Okay.
Instagram we're on. I'm sorry. I am so bad with social media, so I don't even know how you get onto that. But we're there. And, you know, if you're somebody that has an idea that you'd like to bring to us, or just come in for a tour and observe the place, get to know and see what we're doing, I think that's great. That would be something that's very helpful. Our primary focus, though, right now is we want to build up. We want to make sure that every family, every kid that wants to be at the YL will be at the YL. We get rid of our our waiting list. And unfortunately that takes resources.
Yeah.
You know, because we have to maintain a 20 kids to one adult ratio.
Okay.
So we're increasing staff, but then when more kids come, we have to increase capacity.
Yeah.
So that's our biggest need. And please keep in mind our mission is that we want to change the community by servicing our kids. And if you have an idea or in any area that's not traditionally used, I mean, sadly, there's not a Little League right now in Compton even. And, there's any way you think, we would welcome suggestions or talking about how you could get involved.
All right.
We're really open gate.
All right. Thank you for your time, Stuart. I appreciate you, sir.
Man, thank you. You let me do what my favorite thing is to talk about YAL. So okay. Thank you, and I really enjoyed this.
All right, man. Well, God bless you, and God bless the YAL, man. I appreciate Thank you guys.
That's it, family. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned. I hope that you can take something away from the LLC. I hope that we can change our zip code. I hope that we can do better than a laundromat, liquor store, and church. I hope that we all end up having real LLCs, businesses, entrepreneurship, all that good stuff. I wish you nothing but God's best for your life. You can contact the show at idefinemyzipcode@gmail.com. Until then, you guys, let's get it.